Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You've been greatly missed, I know, by everyone across the Riviera.
Well, thank you very much for your message yesterday saying I'd had the longest holiday in history.
Well, it has been a bit of a joke, to be honest with you. Sabbatical springs to mind, or something longer term. People were worried about your employment prospects, but they'll be pleased to hear your dulcet tones once again.
Well, thank you very much. And did you have a nice break? You went away, didn't you?
I was in Switzerland for a little while, which was rather pleasant, walking in the mountains, swimming in the lake a little bit, cycling along. I got into e-biking, actually, which is very pleasant in the mountains and takes some of the strain away. So enjoyed that, but nice to be back in the UK. Been back here for some time. And markets, of course, been very interesting.
You went for a swim in the lake?
Yeah, a few
Not
times.
A jump in the lake?
Some people did tell me to go jump in the lake, yes.
Yes, well, I did keep my eye on the markets while I was away, and my steady hand on the tiller resulted in a pretty good August, didn't it?
Very good. Far from being stuck in the August doldrums, the S&P 500 continued its record-breaking streak last week, up 3.3%. That's the biggest weekly gain since the first week of July. For August, the S&P was up an astounding 7.2%. Put that in some sort of context, it's the best August since 1984. In Europe, equities have also been trading higher over the course of the month. Stock 600 is up 2.9%. Its biggest gain since the financial crisis of 2009. Sentiment boosted, I think, by consensus beating results from the technology sector. Positive updates on the development of a vaccine and US-Sino relations, and promises of long-term support from the Federal Reserve, all of which created a positive backdrop for equities, helping to offset disappointing US consumer confidence figures, weak activity numbers coming out of Europe, and a lack of progress on the second US coronavirus stimulus package. Big number this week, of course, the markets comes on Friday, non-farm payroll, where we expect the US labor market recovery to continue. We expect the US economy created 1,750,000 jobs last month, pushing the unemployment rate down to 9.7%.
So, I mean, you're talking a good game, but I mean, equities are just so far removed from economic reality at the moment that it's hard to know, you know, what's going on.
Well, there's a number of factors, I think, that have been important. You've got overwhelming policy support. You've got a surge in technology adoption rates. You've got limited competition for equities. Obviously, the initiatives put in place by central banks have driven down bond yields, encouraging investors to take more and more risk to generate a return. That increasingly means, I think, turning to equity markets. Coronavirus data, I guess you could argue, has been stabilizing a little bit. And expectations of an earnings recovery continue to be very strong as you look through to 2021. But I think, like you, you've got to be a little bit cautious. The reality is there's still an awful lot of unknowns out there, still a lot of uncertainties. We don't know whether we're truly going to experience a strong second wave when it comes to the coronavirus. Got the US presidential election, which can, of course, create some volatility in financial markets. So good performance from equity markets, an incredible performance in many ways from the March lows. The S&P 500 is up more than 50% compared to where we were. But I think you've got to be cautious. So I think hedging, I think diversification continues to be very important. And active management, certainly when it comes to equity markets, yield enhancement solutions in fixed income are absolutely key at the moment.
Are these known unknowns or known knowns or unknown knowns? Who said that?
It was the Defence Secretary in the United States. Yes, Donald Rumsfeld. I was just about to say his name. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're looking at known unknowns at the moment, but they can very quickly develop into unknown unknowns.
So you're still relaxing in Cobham, are you?
Still here, still in the UK, still working from home. So it's been somewhat of an interesting time. The good news is the kids are back to school tomorrow, so that will alleviate at least some of the stress in the house.
Well, this is a major thing, isn't it, getting people back to work at the offices and all the businesses that rely on workers in the city. So the big losers are the property developers and commercial landlords, because if people don't go back into offices, they're out of pocket.
They really are. And listen, I think the truth is lots of people will go back to work. There's a number of reasons for that. Collaboration, culture, the development of culture, I think is incredibly important, and creating a strong working environment is also vital, and the office plays an important role in that. But I think we have to be realistic. There's a structural change that's been taking place as a result of this, and perhaps that was coming anyway, but it's certainly been adopted at a much more aggressive rate than ever could have been anticipated, and much more people will work from home because the costs are much lower, the productivity is held up, if not got better, and for many people it creates a much better work-life balance.
The UK is lagging behind, isn't it? Because I think only 34% of office workers have actually returned to their place of work at the moment in the UK, whereas in France it's nearly 80% and the European average is 70%.
Yeah, significant difference. Maybe that's the type of economy that you've got in the UK that pushes that. Technology has been strong and people have adapted very quickly. And I think that will continue to be the case, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but what's going to happen to all the empty offices, though?
Turn into houses, probably. I mean, the reality is there's still a huge housing shortage in the UK, but we are seeing people adapting many of their buildings to meet those changes, and that, I think, will continue.
But that means that all those businesses, such as Pret-a-Manger, the bars, the restaurants, you know, the little corner shops that supply the newspapers and the sweets for the office workers, they're all going to go out of business, aren't they?
Many of them will struggle, and in much the same way that the high street has been changing and moving to an online model, one would suspect that the office environment and cities will have to change as well.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Got the pound against the dollar this morning, trading at 1.34. Euro dollar just below 1.20. Going to get 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Just a bit of mild sparring today. I'm sure the gloves will come off later in the week. But
looking forward to it.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.